Good morning, radio friends. Welcome to this Thursday edition of the Gospel Way Radio Broadcast. My name is Bradley Boone. I'll be your radio preacher for the next 15 minutes. We hope you'll stay tuned as we bring you a portion of the infallible and inerrant Word of God. We're so glad that you've tuned this way today. We concluded a message on yesterday's radio broadcast that we'd preached last Lord's Day there at the church. The message was entitled, The Faith of Isaac. And we trust and pray that that radio message was a blessing to you. And if it was, we'd love for you to tell somebody about the Gospel Way radio broadcast and so that other folks could listen. It is a ministry of the Concord Baptist Church. Let me tell you about what God has been doing around our church. I'm telling you, it's phenomenal. I just wake up every morning so blessed to be the pastor of such a wonderful place where God's working, folks are praising the Lord. Things are happening. Folks are getting saved. The church is growing. And I'm just so excited to be a part of it, be a part of the ministry that God's put me in. Allowed me to travel, go places and preach. And I tell you, it's just a blessing. We appreciate the Lord for every place He uses us and everything that He does in our life. And I hope this morning you've got praise on your heart. We're going to be playing a message that we preached a little over a year ago now at the church. And the message is entitled, What a Wonderful Savior. Amen. What a wonderful Savior. And we trust as we just try to brag on the Lord here this morning and again tomorrow, that it'd be a blessing to you as you listen.
On our behalf, Isaiah chapter number 9, if you found your place this morning, we'll begin our reading. Really, we're only going to read maybe one verse, maybe two, but we'll begin our reading in verse number 6. Now, Isaiah here is prophesying of none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And in verse number 6, he says this, For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. Now notice this wording right here. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Let's pray together. Father, we ask, Lord, in Jesus' name, that you'd help us for a few minutes, God, to put everything aside, Lord, in the outside world. And I pray that for a few minutes here today, as we gather together in your house, Lord, that you would help us just to look towards you. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would be real, God, among your people. And Lord, that we could everyone leave here today saying that it's been good to be at the house of God. Help us now as only you can. We'll thank you for everything that's accomplished. In Jesus' lovely name, we make our prayer. And through his blood we pray. Amen and amen. I wanted just a few moments this morning. Take just a little while and extol and exhort and make much of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we're here today. That's why we have a church. That's why we have assembled. It's not to make much of one another or to make much of the singing. It's not to even make much of the preaching. But it's for one purpose, and that is to point our fingers toward heaven and say it's all about Him. It's all about the Lord. Now the Bible said here in Isaiah chapter number 9, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, He said, Isaiah said, His name shall be called Wonderful. Now, I would look at that word wonderful. That's a word that I believe is used for too many things in our day and age. Things are called wonderful that I really don't believe are wonderful. But I looked up, Brother Rick, the definition of the word wonderful. It means to inspire delight, pleasure or admiration, to be extremely good or marvelous. I believe that those words begin to scratch the surface of who the Lord Jesus Christ really is. I believe if we take those words that we've barely scratched the surface, that he, my friend, is inspiring. He's a delight. He's a pleasure. He's admirable. He's extremely good. He's marvelous. Those words scratch the surface. But can I say to you this morning that the human language does not contain words. There are no adjectives by which he can be described. There's no words in the dictionary this morning that adequately describe who the Lord Jesus Christ is. But Isaiah said his name would be called Wonderful. And he is wonderful. And so I began to think about all the wonderful things that there is about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I've learned one lesson in the years that I've been in the ministry, and that is that there's no greater subject than the Lord Jesus Christ. The old story, my friend, never grows old. And if you're saved by the grace of God, it's a story that excites your heart each time it's told. And if you're lost and on your way to hell, it's the only story that can make a difference in your life. There's so much social, my friend, there's so much social gospels that are preached this day. I read just this last week in one of the books that I was reading, I believe maybe it was Lester Roloff, that said, if we'd had the social gospel during the days of the prodigal son, someone would have reached out to him and gave him a sandwich and gave him a new coat and helped him find a place to stay, and he never would have come home. Amen. Hey, sometimes what we need is not another social gospel or another social program. What we need is just to hear about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. What we need is not preaching on some grand subject of psychological interest. We don't need somebody to stand and tell us about the politics of the day. But what we need is some leather lung preachers that'll stand and tell the old story, how that Jesus came, bled and died, that you and I wouldn't have to go to hell, but that we might be saved. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Isn't that a wonderful thing? I want to preach this morning on what a wonderful Savior is he. Wonderful. I began to think about how that he was wonderful in the prophecies that he fulfilled. Here in Isaiah chapter number 6, written many hundreds of years prior to our Lord's birth, God has already set into motion the wheels that would one day lead to the birth of his son in Bethlehem. His perfect life, which we'll talk about, his vicarious death on the cross, and then his resurrection. God had already set the wheels in motion. Yes. When we think about all the prophecies concerning him, if you're new to the Bible, if you look at the New Testament and the things concerning Christ, you can go all the way through the Old Testament, and what you'll find is that Jesus is on every page. Yes. Jesus wasn't an afterthought of God. Jesus didn't first show up in Bethlehem, but my friend, Jesus is mentioned in the very first verse of the Bible. Oh yes, Jesus is found on every single page. And can I say to you, he's wonderful in the prophecies that he fulfilled. And I began to just go through and jot a few of these things down, and I hope there'll be a blessing to you. But he spoke to Abraham. Think about how he called Abraham out of the Ur of Chaldees. Why did he call Abraham out of the Ur of Chaldees? That he might establish a people. But God wasn't just interested in having a people. God was interested in having a Savior for mankind. So God called Abraham out of the Ur of Chaldees that he might establish a people, that there might be a nation through which the bloodline could be propagated, and that Jesus might someday be born properly and in the way that God had laid out, and that he might bleed and die, and that there might be no accusation against him. Are you hearing what I'm preaching? He called Abraham out of the Ur of Chaldees not to get Abraham, not to get Isaac, not to get Jacob. He called Abraham out of the Ur of Chaldees that you and I, my friend, in 2017 might be able to bound an old-fashioned altar and have the blood applied to our life and have a Savior. That's why God called Abraham out of the Ur of Chaldees. I thought about how that he spoke to Jacob and revealed to Jacob that this Christ would come from out of the tribe of Judah. I thought about how that he told Isaiah that he would be the son of Jesse. I thought about how that he whispered to Micah the name of the town where he would be born in. When he told Micah, he said, "You tell them, thou Bethlehem, you're not least among the provinces of Judah." He told Micah where he would be born, and Jesus fulfilled that prophecy. I thought about it, amazing how that through Daniel he told us that we'd be known at the time of his birth. I thought it amazing how that through Malachi he told of the forerunner, John the Baptist, that would come preaching before Christ was ever born. I thought it amazing how that through the prophet Jonah, he had Jonah thrown over the side of a boat, swallowed up in a whale, vomited back on the beach 3 days later, so that one day Jesus could say, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, so must I be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Think about that. As Jonah is there treading water in the sea, the storm is all around, up comes a big fish to swallow him up. My friend, no doubt Jonah thought, this is random happenstance. This is, my friend, the judgment of God on me for running from God, and certainly it was. But God had a much grander plan. I'm about to shout. He had a much grander plan than that, for he knew that 3 days later, my friend, that fish was going to vomit Jonah up on the beach, and it was going to be a beautiful picture of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can find him on every page, my friend, of the King James Bible, and it's wonderful, and his prophecy's wonderful. Amen. Wonderful. Wonderful. He's wonderful, his prophecy. Not only was he wonderful in the prophecy about his life, but let me say this to you today. He was wonderful, thank God, in his birth. Oh, yes, wonderful in his birth. Oh, there's never been a birth like the birth of Christ. Never had been before, never has been since. Now, I think about the birth of Christ, and the Lord helped me with something this week that I never had really thought about before. When the Lord came and was born into Bethlehem's town, he came to three classifications of people. We find him coming to the shepherds to announce his birth. This represents the old average, everyday working class. I'm glad somebody ought to say hallelujah. God cared about average, ordinary. Aren't you glad for that? God cared about average, ordinary, working class individuals. He didn't come to the king. He didn't come to the mighty men of that day. But my friend, he came to the average working class people, and he brought the good news that unto you this day is born in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. I'm glad that he came to the working class. But then Brother Gary also went to the wise men, to the magi. That represents the studious class, those that had studied the Word of God, those that had been students of the Old Testament. I'm glad, thank God, not only did he reward this regular old working class people, but he rewarded those, my friend, that had taken time to study and understand the Word of God. And then I thought about this, how that not only did he come to the shepherds, not only did he come to the magi or the wise men, but my friend, he came to Simeon and Anna and foretold of his birth. That's the worshiping crowd, amen. Three kinds. My goodness, is there a wall here? Y'all can't hear what I'm preaching. Amen. Came to three clouds. He came to the working class. My friend, come to the student class. And he came to that worshiping crowd. I say God still loves all three of those today. He loves the old average folks, the working class. And I'm glad that all work is based upon him. John 6:29 says this. This is the work of God, that you believe on him who he hath sinned. I'm glad that he's still coming to the studious class. For truly the Bible said in Colossians 2:3, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And I'm glad this morning, thank God, that he's still coming to the worshiping class. Those that are willing to join junk their pride. My friend, get rid of the flesh. I throw up their hands toward heaven and say, Jesus lives. And he saved my soul. And I praise his holy name. And I glory today in him. Oh, and let some tears begin to run down your face. Oh, yes. Jesus loves that worshiping crowd.
Well, we hate to stop the message there, but we're out of time on today's radio broadcast. We trust that the force of the message, entitled What a Savior Is He, has been a blessing to you. And until tomorrow at this same time, this is Bradley Boone, the pastor of the Concord Baptist Church, saying may God richly bless you is our prayer.